case on this morning's call is number 02-2003, the United States against Gregory Robinson. Mr. Sabin.
May it please the court, Mr. Miller. It is my honor to appear today before you on behalf of Gregory Robinson. We submit that the district court erred in denying Gregory Robinson's motion to suppress and that the district court's factual findings were clearly erroneous. On April 20th, 2001, Gregory Robinson was a passenger in a car which was stopped while traveling through the village of Bethany in central Illinois. Mr. Robinson's car, the car in which he was traveling in, was stopped for allegedly traveling too closely to another car. Ultimately, there was a search of the vehicle in which a substantial amount of crack cocaine was discovered. The defendant filed his motion to suppress, premised entirely on whether the stopping officer had an articulable suspicion that a traffic law had in fact been committed. We believe that the facts adduced at the hearing suggest that the district court's findings were clearly erroneous. In our brief, we enumerate 10 or 11 points, which we believe, when viewed collectively, would suggest that Chief Shutter should not have stopped the Robinson car. The first of those relates to Chief Shutter's inexperience. At the time of the arrest, Chief Shutter had approximately 3 years of police work. His training in traffic matters, I think, was roughly 20 hours. In response to this portion of our brief, the government essentially argues that because the district court found that Chief Shutter was very credible, that his inexperience was a non-factor.
Mr. Sabin, my problem with this was simply that we weren't talking about Chief Shutter, let's say, performing a complex test on a substance to see if it was really drugs or not. He was looking at the road and a couple of cars drive by. I would imagine that you, or even I, who am certainly no expert in cars, would notice if they were very close together. So it seems to me that this is a sort of witness credibility issue. The district court heard Chief Shutter, heard him explain what he saw, and I'm influenced as well by the fact that the Illinois statute under which Chief Shutter was operating is a broadly worded statute. It's really the words reasonable and prudent, having due regard for the speed and so forth. It calls for some judgment, but when two cars are very close together, we all can see that.
And I don't disagree with Your Honor at all, and I would suggest that this is one of many factors that we were asking the court to consider. This factor in and of itself is not likely to create much of an issue, but we would point to his relative inexperience, and this ties into whether or not he performed what is customary in traffic stops of this sort, the application of a two-second rule.
The problem, of course, Mr. Sabin, and I know that you know this, is that whether or not Chief Shutter was credible really is for Judge McCuskey to decide. We have to defer to his credibility determination in a situation here where, as you know, Judge Wood, that there's a lot of common sense too that goes into something.
Absolutely, Your Honor, and I agree, and I don't disagree that Chief Shutter could testify credibly. But that doesn't necessarily equate with the reasonableness of the findings that the judge made when we look at all of these factors in the aggregate. When we consider his inexperience, the fact that he was there in a backup position as opposed to necessarily monitoring traffic.
But why does that, the problem with many of your factors is I don't see why they pertain to whether he, in fact, accurately observed that these cars were traveling far too close together. He could have been there because he'd stopped to eat a Big Mac. If he saw the cars he saw the cars, and Judge McCuskey found that he did. It doesn't seem to me that you need very much time to see the cars. You make a point about the fact that speed limits are decreasing, but that doesn't give people a pass to travel 10 feet behind the car in front of them. I mean, you have to start braking in a situation like that so that you're not too close to the car in front of you. I mean, that argument reminded me of my son explaining why he got a ticket for traveling 90 miles an hour because he was going downhill.
Of course, and I would agree with you, Your Honor.
We're going to get you to defend her son.
No, we've settled that one.
And again, I don't... I am not suggesting that any one factor in and of itself is dispositive, but what I'm asking the court to consider is when you look at all of these factors collectively, it does, I believe, question, would lead one to question whether what Chief Shutter actually observed was in fact an infraction and whether that was reasonable. The court made a particular finding. The Chief Shutter observed the infraction for several seconds as opposed to making a split-second decision. And I would suggest to Your Honors that the record doesn't even support that finding. Chief Shutter testified that he could only observe the vehicles, the infraction, alleged infraction, when it occurred right in front of him, which was for a second or two, as opposed to he did testify he saw the vehicles approaching around a curve from the west, but he could not testify with any certainty as to whether there was a violation of traveling too closely or not. So when Judge McCuskey makes a finding that Chief Shutter observed the violation for several seconds as opposed to making a split-second decision, I would suggest to you that it's inaccurate. Chief Shutter testified that he saw, he could only see the violation for a second or two as the cars passed in front of him. It's a stretch to suggest, and Chief Shutter didn't go as far as to testify, that he observed the violation for several seconds, as I believe Judge McCuskey said he did. He simply testified that he observed the infraction for a second or two, and that's what I believe his inexperience ties into this, because whether what he truly observed or not, was that really an infraction or not? Would like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal, so thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sabin. Mr. Miller.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Eugene Miller. I represent the United States, as I did in the district court. I won't belabor the issue too much, as I think this court understands the difficult hurdle faced by the defendant on this appeal. During the motion to suppress hearing, there was only one witness who testified. That was Chief Shutter. The defendant did not put on any testimony, although he did offer into evidence a videotape, which the district court found corroborated Chief Shutter's testimony. His testimony, which the court found to be credible and in fact found to be undisputed, was that he observed the vehicle in which the defendant was a passenger 8 to 10 feet behind a tan car traveling 30 to 35 miles per hour as it entered the village of Bethany. It was still light outside. He was only 10 to 12 feet from the place where he observed the violation. And actually, the United States believes that the argument of defense counsel that he was there in a backup capacity further strengthens his testimony in this case. This is not a case where we have a pretextual stop, any allegation of that, where Chief Shutter was looking to stop this vehicle because he believed there were drugs in the vehicle. It's not even a case where he was sitting there in a small town running radar looking to stop vehicles. It was one where he was in a backup capacity to another stop when he observed what he observed. And seeing that violation, he then stopped the vehicle. Now, we think that the brief sets out that under these circumstances, a person of reasonable belief could believe that a traffic violation had occurred, in this case, following too closely. Certainly the standard isn't whether the defendant, actually not the defendant, but the driver of the vehicle would have had a defense to the following too closely violation if it went to trial. The only question is, did Chief Shutter have reasonable belief that such a violation may have occurred? And we believe the evidence of that is overwhelming. as the district court found. Just one quick response to the minor dispute over Judge McCutkey's finding that he observed it for several seconds. We believe, as we set forth in our brief, that that was a correct finding. On cross-examination by defense counsel, Chief Shutter responded to the question, when could you observe the distance between the cars? He said, when they were directly in front of me. He said that was for 1 or 2 seconds. Yes. But the entire infraction, of course, occurred longer than that. And when he was asked later how long he observed the Buick behind the vehicle, he said, no, not for just 1 or 2 seconds. I observed it for several seconds. It was just the 1 or 2 seconds that he was able to clearly see the distance between the vehicles. But as we know in common sense in ordinary life, he would be able to make that determination as the cars approached. And then once it got in front of him, he could see the actual distance, which, as we said in our brief, is in gross violation of the 2-second rule of thumb. Based on that, we ask this court to affirm the judgment of the district court. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Miller.
Very briefly, I believe there's a distinction with the difference when we talk about whether Chief Shutter observed the infraction for a mere second or two or several seconds. And I suggest this because Judge McCutkey placed great emphasis on the fact that he believed Chief Shutter made his decision to stop the vehicle after observing the infraction for several seconds, as opposed to making a split-second decision. And I'm basically arguing to the court that this was a split-second decision. I would agree that any one factor, when considered, is not in and of itself dispositive, but when viewed collectively, we believe that the district court's determination was clearly erroneous. When you consider the decreasing speed limit, the fact that it may cause cars to encroach on one another, the relatively slow speeds that the cars were traveling at, the fact that there were no other traffic violations, and in particular, that there was no discernible observation made as to what, if any, distance the vehicle traveled too closely to the car preceding it, we believe that it was reasonable or unreasonable to stop the vehicle, and we would ask Your Honors to reverse the district court and grant the defendant's motion to suppress. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sabin. Mr. Sabin, you served by appointment of the court, and on behalf of the court, I want to thank you for your fine services on behalf of your client, and thank your law firm as well for having taken on the case.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thanks.